Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the council meeting. You have apologies?
No apologies, Chair, everyone is present.
Can the order of business, please?
The order of business is largely as published. Follow papers have been issued in respect of item number 10 in relation to 20 mile per hour speed limits, and item number 16, the review of polling districts and places. Two additional papers have been tabled, an additional item numbered 6A in relation to appointments under standing orders in the scheme of administration, and a paper in relation to item number 13, an amendment from the Labour Group in respect of the revenue budget.
Thank you. Do you have any declarations of interest?
Sorry, Provost. I would like to table an amendment to the budget as well. I'm not sure how that should have been intimated.
Okay, if you raise it at the budget time, okay. Yep. Minutes of the meetings for approval with Lothian Council on the 5th of November. Councillor Constable.
Thank you, Provost. If I could refer to the minute on page 1438, with respect to the Mavis Bank House decision, I'd like it any letter to go to reflect the fact that both sides of the debate strongly supported the restoration of Mavis Bank House, and the difference was simply on the funding being placed. So I'd like any letter going out in that to reflect that strong support on both sides of the debate for the actual principle of the restoration.
Okay, acceptable. Yeah, thank you. Minutes for the 19th of November. Okay. 3rd of December.
Sorry, no.
Okay. Minutes for noting the Cabinet of the 8th of October. Planning Committee on the 8th of October, General Purpose Committee on the 1st of October, Local Review Body the 3rd of September, and the Audit Committee 17th of September. Accepted? Okay, thank you. Item number 5, there are no written questions to the leader. With the permission of the Chamber, I would like to move one of the motions from the Labour Group regarding Nelson Mandela to motion number 1, if that's okay with you? Yeah. Okay. Councillor Bennett.
Thanks, Provost. I just felt that the long involvement that the Midlothians had with the anti-apartheid movement and the battle for free Nelson Mandela, that it's important that if you watch the media, it seems to be everything happened in Glasgow. Well, it didn't just happen in Glasgow, it happened in Midlothian also. And it was the 19th of September 1985 at Midlothian District Council when Councillor Andrew Fraser moved a motion seconded by Councillor David Smith against the apartheid system in South Africa and for to free Nelson Mandela. They did suggest at that time, and I got this for the records, that the council did suggest that to the South African government that he be released so that he could come to Midlothian and accept the award, but that wasn't taken up for obvious reasons. But at that time, I was a member of the anti-apartheid movement in Midlothian in the 1980s, and there was a strong movement of the anti-apartheid in Midlothian. And I can remember historically, there was a bike ride, there was a lot of people that had a sponsored bike ride to free Mandela from Berwick up to Dalkeith, then there was a big rally in Dalkeith Miners Club. The following day, there was a walk from Jarnock Court to Parliament Square in Edinburgh. At that time, it was the Lothian region, and all the mates took part in the walk. We went in and we met the convener of the region at that time, and I'm almost certain it was wee Jimmy Cook, and we were all presented with a coaster. Also in my role in the past with the Miners' Union, we had strong links with the National Union of Mine Workers in South Africa, and Nelson Mandela, up to the day he died, was honorary president of the National Union of Mine Workers in South Africa. He was an inspiration to freedom fighters everywhere, worldwide, and respected worldwide. The world, in my opinion, is a better place for the Nelson Mandela and everything that he was involved in, and I'm quite sure, I'll leave it on this, Judge, that there is hypocrites and history will judge them.
Councillor Montgomery, do you wish to?
Just a few words to Provost, thanks. Like Councillor Bennett, I mean, I would echo everything that he said, but I sometimes think you can put a wee different slant on it. And when I was involved in my union in Algo, as it was at the time in Edinburgh, we did quite a lot in the anti-apartheid movement, and I was a member of it as well, like Alec, in Midlothian. And we used to sponsor speakers to come over from the African National Congress and from SACTU, which is the trade unions in South Africa, to come and do tours in Scotland and speak at rallies and branch meetings and different things. And the one that we had on more than one occasion was a guy, Eddie Ramsdale, and Eddie was probably in his 60s. And Eddie was of Asian extraction, and his wife was black. I remember him telling us the story. I was just asking him how bad it really was. And he said, you know, the man had a great sense of humour. And he was telling us a story about he was on the beach with his wife. There was beaches for blacks and beaches for whites. And because Eddie was Asian, he got put off the black beach, but he couldn't have got on the white one. So he just had to end up not going anywhere at all. So that's just how bad it really was. I think the trade union movement, as well as most of the political parties in this country, with the exception of one, was very supportive of the Nelson Mandela and his struggle to get for freedom. And I think the record of this country was very, very proud. There was a lot of sporting events that shouldn't have taken place. There was a lot of sports persons stood up in Oxford County as well. So I think it's, you know, I think it would be right that we do recognise his passing, and I think the outpouring of the support and sympathy for Nelson Mandela over the last couple of weeks has really been outstanding. It's a great tribute to the man himself, so I'll leave it at that.
Councillor Constable.
Thank you, Provost. Yes, I'm very happy to support this motion. Speaking as one who visited South Africa, first of all, in the apartheid years, it was a very strange feeling to always have to be conscious in public places that where every place would have four toilets. There would be ladies and gentlemen and European and non-European. You'd have to make sure you got to the right ones. And also, you had to be careful of which areas you went to. The beaches certainly were segregated, the white beaches and other area black beaches. You made sure you went to the right place. And a strange feeling was we got lost in Durban one time at night and stopped to ask the way, only to be told that I was in the wrong race group area. Just the strange feeling to feel, just because of the colour of your skin, you were standing in the wrong place on the planet. Nelson Mandela achieved all the getting rid of that. And on subsequent visits in the 90s and in recent years, the whole country has transformed into a much more vibrant place. Okay, there are other challenges, but the vibrancy, and it is a marvellous place to go and visit.
Anybody else? Okay then, could I ask you, if you are able, to stand for 1 minute silence, please? We now move to item marked 6A, and it's a motion from Councillor Russell.
Thank you, Provost. Happy to propose this motion to the Council regarding the Midlothian Community Concert Band, which is an offshoot of various other groups within the Council. I think it's always been an issue where the youngsters were obviously getting tuition at school, and once they left school, there maybe wasn't any other outlets for them unless they went to our silver bands or brass bands. So this is great that this has been set up, because it gives them opportunity to keep fine-tuning their skills. But it also includes adults as well that want to continue to play and the kind of music and the kind of areas that they've been playing in. And it's obviously, it's only been running for about 3 years, but it's obviously shown its worth in the fact that it's been awarded a silver award in their first event in National Conference. I think we're always very proud of the musical heritage here in Midlothian, with obviously silver bands, brass bands, pipe bands, but the schools themselves always excel themselves when we have the music festival, and I've always been very pleased to be able to go to it and to enjoy it. So I'm very happy to propose this motion.
Thank you. Councillor Beattie.
Thank you, Provost. I'm equally delighted to second this motion. I was at New Battle High School where they first came together, on the very first night they did come together, and it wasn't a very nice sound, as I'm sure you won't be surprised to hear, but they very quickly turned that interesting, diverse sound into one of tremendous harmony, and have just gone from strength to strength. And it, I think, should actually pay tribute to the head of New Battle High, Colin Taylor, for being generous enough to host this wonderful group of musicians and continuing to support them as they've grown and developed. I was actually privileged to be at the Queen's Hall on Saturday evening to hear them play and perform, indeed, with the Kevert Choir, which was an extraordinary sound and quite wonderful altogether. And I just hope they will continue to thrive in the way they have already done. And I can't commend this motion to you sufficiently.
Okay, accepted. Thank you. Item 6B, a motion to the Council, signed by Councillor Beattie.
Thank you, Provost. I'm really truly delighted with this. When I was first elected in 2007, I spoke to the then Chief Executive and asked him, what did we do about recognising particular achievement and contribution from officers who went beyond the mile? And many of them do, as I think we all know and recognise. And that was not received very favourably as a remark. I won't tell you what the response was, but it certainly wasn't well received at all. So I was delighted that under the leadership of this Chief Executive, we have moved to this place where we properly recognise the remarkable efforts and the dedication of a tremendous number of people, without whom, as a small local authority, we wouldn't be able to do all the things that we do. And with the degree of excellence and cheerfulness that so many of them deliver this service, I think is to be commended. And I'm so happy to have seen this number of people nominated. I think we should congratulate the finalists and all those who took part and were nominated for this, as well as having been delighted at the event itself. Thank you.
Councillor Russell.
Thank you, Provost. Yes, happy to second this motion. I also applaud the work that our staff do. The fact that they do go that extra mile for us is always very apparent. But these particular celebrations, I've been fortunate enough to attend both of them. And the camaraderie is there. And we do say the Midlothian Council is a small village, and it certainly does show at that particular celebration.
Yeah, having attended both these events, I heartily endorse this motion and congratulate the finalists and the people who are nominated for these awards. Move to item 6D, and a motion by Councillor Devinck.
Just before, I'm sorry to cut across Councillor Devinck, but just to ask a question to on standing orders and what we're allowed to spend and what we're not allowed to spend, given that the this is a motion which would use up hard-pressed resources within Midlothian Council. Are we in order to spend money, if the motion is passed, on and doing active work outside of Midlothian Council's remit? Thank you.
Could you tell me what standing order you think it's against?
Provost, it's not the standing order, it's actually the what you're allowed to do and not allowed to do. And in another life, we were pulled in by the then Secretary of State many years ago when I was a councillor in Edinburgh District Council because we were spending money on what was seen as a propaganda out with the council's remit. And I'm asking that as a matter of clarity.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to comment on this. Apologies in advance. I'll give a brief outline as to the general background legal position. In terms of Section 2 of the Local Government Act 1986, the Council cannot publish or provide financial assistance to publish any material which either in whole or in part appears to be designed to affect public support for a political party. In particular, regard has to be made as to whether any published material promotes or opposes a particular point of view on a question of political controversy which is identifiable as the view of one political party and not of another, and if the material is part of a campaign. Clearly, the question of whether or not Scotland should be an independent country is a matter of political controversy, with the SNP being in favour of independence. Further, whilst the Councillors' Code of Conduct recognises that assistance to political groups is appropriate in relation to council matters, it does emphasise that this must not extend to political parties more generally. And councillors should be aware of and ensure the Council complies with Section 2 of the 1986 Act. However, having said that, the Code of Recommended Practice on Local Authority Publicity does recognise that councils may wish to comment on government proposals and policies, and recommends that if they wish to, then they should do so in a balanced, objective and factually accurate manner. For example, the Council may wish to consider the White Paper Scotland's future and the implications for the Council's role as local authority for Midlothian. Publicity, publish, publication are terms which are given a very wide meaning and refer to any communication in whatever form addressed to the public at large or to a section of the public.
If I understand you correctly, does that mean that there's been a government white paper? It's quite right that this council can hold a seminar on this.
I think because it is a government proposal on a white paper, then it would be legitimate for the council to consider that in terms of how it affects Midlothian Council.
Okay, I accept it as a motion. Councillor De Vink.
That is one really for a surprise. But the fact is that the white paper, 670 pages in total, is quite a fascinating publication, and it will have enormous impact on Midlothian Council in due course. So as such, I thought it would be worthwhile for us to have a seminar where we would discuss this white paper and go into some of the issues that would be so relevant to Midlothian. I don't think the seminar would need to cost any money at all, other than the time of the officials. The time of the elected representatives is already covered. So here we go. This is what I would like to put forward, and I hope that I will get support. But more importantly, that when the seminar happens, that really as many officials as possible
and members of both sides of the divide would attend the seminar. I hereby move.
Thank you. Councillor Thompson.
I'll be brief, delighted to second, and think it's entirely appropriate that we do have this discussion within Midlothian. I think taking the steps and the proposal here for a seminar is a very sensible one. When we look at some of the moves that have been undertaken and the vast quantities of reports and papers that, for example, Glasgow City Council are producing, supporting one side of the argument, it's quite a different situation to what is being proposed here, where we're talking about a very balanced opportunity to discuss the various viewpoints on the impact of Midlothian of the contents of the white paper. So I'm certainly very comfortable in the proposal to hold a seminar on this. I think it's a thoroughly good opportunity for us to take forward the debate and to have the discussion on the direct impacts for Midlothian.
Thank you. Councillor Milligan.
Provost, can I move no action on this paper at all? Can I move that the Council concentrates and try to balance its budgets and deliver critical services to the public in Midlothian, and this is just a diversion for the officers' time to talk about what is a political argument within a Council place? Can I move no motion and no action?
A seconder for that, please.
Yeah, Provost, I'd like to second that, both in terms of the reference at the beginning to the quote significant benefits that independence could bring, and in particular to the suggestion that we have a seminar. I think, like Councillor Mulligan, we've got better things to do with our time than spend it sitting around here for a few hours being lectured to on the supposed benefits, the uncosted benefits that appear in the catalogue that Councillor Devinck just showed us there. The reality is that I think it's a fair bet that you're not going to change your mind and we're not going to change yours, and therefore all we're doing is rehearsing the arguments in a seminar which isn't even going to be a public thing. So we're just playing it here, and I just think it's a total waste of your time, and as Derek says, I think concentrating on the issues that really matter to us in Midlothian here is the right way to go, and that's what we should be spending our time doing.
Okay. Those in favour of the amendment?
Could I call up on a roll call vote?
A roll call vote. Okay. Those in favour of the amendment to not hold the seminar, please. Okay, yeah.
Okay. For the amendment, Councillor Baxter?
No, for the motion.
Councillor Beattie?
For the motion.
Councillor Bennett?
For the amendment.
Councillor Boyce. Councillor Bryant.
For the motion.
Councillor Constable.
For the motion.
Councillor Coventry.
For the motion.
Councillor Devinck. Councillor Imrie. Councillor Johnston.
For the motion.
Councillor Milligan.
For the amendment.
Councillor Montgomery. Councillor Muirhead.
For the amendment.
Councillor Pottinger.
Amendment.
Councillor Rosie.
For the motion.
Councillor Russell.
For the amendment.
Councillor Thompson.
For the motion.
Provost Wallace.
For the motion.
There are 10 for the motion and 8 for the amendment.
Thank you. I thought you just spoke about the not to waste time as well. Anyway. The next item on the agenda is has been brought forward by me as a matter of urgent business. Councillor Thompson.
Thanks, Provost. I mean, the block proposal that I'm putting forward is laid out in front of members. There's clearly a number of details within that. I think they're all self-explanatory. Following a meeting of the group, proposed changes were made. These are reflected on the paper in front of you. I'm asking Council to note the Cabinet portfolios, but obviously it's the Cabinet that will formally appoint these, just to make that point. And the fourth point there, to request a review of the committee and external appointments at first meeting in the new year. I'm aware that there had been some conversation previously about some look at some of these, and I think just by tying this in, it gives us that opportunity to have a refresh now that we'll be at that point approaching 2 years into the council term. So just making sure that the committee appointments are all aligned as much as appropriate.
Councillor Constable.
In seconding this proposal, I just want to say a statement about in my time as leader of the council. I want to thank all the members of the cabinet and all the members of the administration who gave me such great support in the year and a half, approximately, which I was the leader. Thank you.
Councillor Mulligan.
Gentlemen, the people of Midlothian are going to absolutely wonder what's going on here. Here we have yet another change. I'm not actually sure whether or not there's another sacking, but there's certainly another change where the roundabout keeps going here. I'm not actually sure whether or not we're on legitimate land to putting this forward as a block motion, when the reality is we seem to only be appointing one person. I just actually think that the public are going to find this absolutely unbearable, that we now have even further changes to this administration. We need some stability here. When we come to the Grant Thornton report here, we're going to see that in the previous financial year, we overspent by £1.25 million. They can't find in place acceptable plans to meet the budget gaps that are there, and yet we continue to see what seems to be in-house fighting within the administration and continual changes to the people that are in charge of this council and the people running this council. It's just not acceptable. This has to be the last change that we have here, because it just seems to be a catalyst for change after change after change. And we've never had one good reason yet as to why these changes come along. And I think the public expect better.
I think it's the administration's duty to run its same team, I think, isn't it? Anyway, that's... Okay. Is there anything else on that?
I think, Provost, just for clarity, I think given that it does require the 10 votes, we do need to take a vote regardless of there being any alternative or otherwise. So I could ask that we have a vote on the proposal, please.
Okay. Those in favour of the proposal, please show. Carried. Thank you.
Can I just make a quick comment? I mean, as I say, not a week's a long time in politics. I was in Australia for 3 weeks. This is unbelievable, actually. I was getting texts telling me that Owen was now the leader. Sorry, there's somebody. Sorry, do you want to say? So 3 weeks in Australia. This is unbelievable.
Do you have a nice time? That's the main thing. Oh, good. Can I move to item 7, a report by you, Chief Executive.
Thank you, Provost. This is an important annual report by the external auditors and is due to be presented to us by the external auditor. Unfortunately, at this stage in the meeting, the external auditor isn't yet with us in the council chamber, so I'd ask for your indulgence and that we bring this back later in the meeting, assuming that the external auditor has made an appearance at that stage, if you're prepared to accept that.
Okay. Acceptable. Thank you. Move to item number 8, the Code of Corporate Governance, a report by Hilary Kelly, Head of Customer Services.
Thanks, Provost. This report proposes a revised Code of Corporate Governance for 2013-14 and seeks Council's approval to the adoption of the revised Code. A self-assessment of the Council's governance arrangements has been undertaken in line with the SIPFA and SOLAS guidance, and each of the elements has been scored on a scale of 1 to 4. The full results of that self-assessment is attached to Appendix 2, which is on pages 61 to 73. In addition, the revised Code of Corporate Governance is attached to Appendix 1 on pages 43 to 59, and you'll see that that's split into three parts. Part 1 on page 46 and 47 shows the improvement plan. Part 2 is then the principles of good governance and how the Council aims to achieve these. And Part 3 identifies the Council's policies and procedures that are essential to demonstrate compliance with these principles. The Audit Committee has been given the opportunity to comment and review the Code of Corporate Governance and have subsequently made no additional comments on that. And Council is hereby invited to note the contents of the report, the information in the appendices, and to formally approve the Code of Corporate Governance.
Okay.
Yeah, Councillor Thompson. Just to note the contents of the report and welcome this report.
Okay. Thank you. Item number 9, Information Security, PSN, Public Sector Network Compliance, a report by Hilary Kelly. Thank you.
Thanks again. This report provides a summary overview of the IT security changes that will need to be made in order to maintain ongoing compliance with the Mandatory Cabinet Office PSN Code of Connection, formerly known as the GSX, and the implications of these on our operations. All UK councils currently connect to other government agencies through the public sector network, and in Midlothian this facilitates things like processing of births, deaths and marriages, tell us once, criminal justice, etc. And all these agencies must adhere to the Code of Connection. Each year, all UK councils are required to undertake a self-assessment and to document their compliance. And our self-assessment was done most recently in April 2013. The Cabinet Office has subsequently changed the IT operation requirements in May this year and has introduced what's known as a zero-tolerance compliance approach, the result of that being that there's much stricter controls and that there's actually automatic disconnection for any non-compliant organisations. The actions that are required are set out in Section 3 of the report. And specifically, the Cabinet Office has mandated that it's no longer permissible to use any personal devices to access PSN-connected systems or PSN-originated data. And what that means for us is that all non-council equipment, so for example, people's personal PCs, personal phones, tablets, etc., are no longer permitted to connect to the Council's corporate network and associated services. At the top of page 76, the specific bullet points there outline exactly what that means for us. And in addition to that, the further Cabinet Office control means the requirement for all members of staff who are accessing PSN services or PSN-originated data will also need to meet the baseline personnel security standard. So basically, we have to do the basic PVG check for each member of staff. The timescales for those changes are set out in section 3.3. As I said, our last compliance certificate was in April this year, and we had initially believed that we wouldn't need to be reassessed until April next year, April 2014. However, because of the new zero tolerance approach, we're not permitted to wait until April, and we actually have to make arrangements to switch off sooner. In negotiations with the Cabinet Office, we've agreed on a date around mid-January, I think about the 20th of January, albeit Cabinet Office are a bit reluctant around that. They would actually like it to be sooner, but in order for us to make the necessary arrangements, we've tried to push it as far back as we can. In order to meet the new compliance, the Council does already have accredited technical business solutions in place, and with the correct budget, resources and timescales, we can actually deploy these so that people can still carry out their duties. And those solutions are, of course, smartphones, BlackBerries, encrypted laptops, etc. It's acknowledged in section 3.5 that there's significant time required to train and support users, because not all users actually find it very straightforward to work in that way. So we know that there's going to be additional guidance and additional support needed for these people, and we need to increase the staffing resource for a short period in order to meet that. Section 3.6 and 3.7 covers the specific requirements for schools and indeed for yourselves as elected members. And then in section 4.1, it starts to cover the actual resource implications for us. In order to meet the needs of the employees who have a genuine business need to remotely access council systems, we need to deploy laptops and smartphones, etc., to those staff. The costs for the suitably compatible smartphone options and laptops are set out in Table 1 on page 78. And as you can see, there are significant capital and revenue costs there, and indeed ongoing revenue costs as well. The additional cost for the training and support that I referred to earlier, looking at just a short period of 3 months, is around £8,000. There's currently no provision in the current year's revenue budget for meeting that additional revenue cost of £16,360 that's outlined, and therefore a supplementary estimate is required for that. In addition, approval to increase the revenue budget on an ongoing basis from 2014-15 is required to cover the £35,156 annual maintenance costs. The General Services Capital Plan currently has £908,000 uncommitted in relation to the PC replacement programme, and we've looked to reprioritise the programme of works within that programme to actually meet the provision for the costs for this mobile technology to be deployed. That can be met in the short term, but will leave a shortfall of £110,000 in future for the replacement of the remaining PCs. That £110,000 will require to be added to the General Services Capital Plan for future years. The cost of deploying the new smartphone technology can be largely met from a credit that's held with Vodafone, and that's arisen from a renegotiation of our contract with them. And then moving on to page 79, there's an additional capital sum of £10,000 and ongoing revenue of £12,000 in relation to one specific business application, which again is absolutely required in order to maintain our compliance. The risks, I think, speak for themselves. The major risk and the very obvious risk for us is that non-compliance with PSN Code of Connection simply means that that compliance certificate will be withdrawn. PSN would be disconnected and there would be very obvious service disruption and quite likely an inability to deliver some of these services at all. The recommendations, which are quite detailed, I'll just take you through on page 81.